Welcome to the Creative Conception Podcast. I'm your host, Erica Price, and this podcast is about sharing unusual and challenging journeys to starting and growing a family. If your family inception journey has not been straightforward, I hope that you'll find some great company in these stories and realize that you're not alone on this journey. Please let me know what you think of the podcast through comments, likes, shares, and reviews, and thanks for listening. Hello, and welcome to episode 3. Today I'm interviewing Sophie, who is a great support to me in my own fertility journey and has had an amazing journey herself. I first met Sophie while we were both working at Lululemon, and she was the first person outside of my family who I knew was going through IVF and was totally open about it. She became someone I went to for advice, support, and encouragement, and I'm so grateful for all of our conversations. Welcome, Sophie.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Let's get started by hearing a few minutes about your own journey.
Okay. I am French. I'm Sophie. I'm 38, and I currently live in Switzerland with my family, which is my husband, Steph, and our two girls, my Lise, who's 6.5, and Saskia, who's 2.5. When I was 17, I went to Australia for a year. I did an exchange program, and I spent a year in Bunbury. And a few years later, I went back to...
In Bunbury?
Yeah, of all places.
That's a very small town. That's funny.
Yeah. And a few years later, my sister and I decided to take a trip and to go to Australia, or for me to go back to Australia. And... when I was preparing for that trip, I got in touch with some of my friends from back then, and one of them invited me to her wedding that was happening on the first weekend of the trip. And so I went to that wedding in Margaret River, and I was sitting next to Steph, who I met that day. So I was I knew Australia, but I was traveling just for a few weeks, and we really hit it on straight away, and we started, I don't know, dating during that trip. And
for the few weeks that you were here, that's always how it happens, isn't it?
yeah. It's a bit, I don't know, love at first sight or something.
Oh.
And I think probably on the second or third day that we were together, we were in Sydney, and we took a bus trip to go somewhere. And I remember that during that bus trip, we spoke about the kind of engagement ring that I thought I wanted. And that I'm actually
wearing.
I've got on my hand right now. And also he told me on the same bus trip that it had a long-term girlfriend and that they tried to conceive. And that they, after a few months, they went and ran some tests, and that he knew that he had some issues. And that if we, that he really wanted children, but if we ever wanted children together, we would probably need help. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I was 26, and I was at the beginning of this really exciting relationship. And I thought, sure, look, that's fine. Let's get to it.
That's amazing to know that straight up.
Yeah. And also I was a student. None of my friends had children. It was really not something that I was thinking about at that stage.
Yeah.
So a few months, I think 5 months later, I moved to Australia permanently to be with Steph. He's German, but he was living there. And we just thought, you know, let's not use protection and let's see if it ever happens like this. And just the fact that you start talking about having children, I think it just suddenly, that's within a few months, that's all we could talk about pretty much.
Yeah, you were getting excited about it at that point.
Yeah. And he was 34 or probably 35 at the time, and his friends were having children. And so we decided to go to a fertility clinic. And
You were both living in Perth at the time, is that right?
Yeah, we were living together in Subiaco, and there was a clinic nearby. So we called and we could get an appointment almost straight away. So we were really excited, and we took the appointment, and we started with IVF straight away because he could bring his results. And the doctor was like, okay, Sophie, you're pretty young. It shouldn't be too difficult, but you do need to go through IVF and to do ICSI, which I think you've explained in a previous episode. So it was going to be really straightforward, and we were really excited when we went for the first time because,
We haven't really gone through ICSI, but we can kind of make a side note about that. Do you want to explain briefly what that is?
Yes, sure. So it's like IVF in terms of you take lots of medication to grow many follicles at once. Then under general anesthesia, they go and retrieve all of those follicles. And instead of just putting them in a petri dish with sperm, they actually chew sperm and inject directly one sperm per mature egg.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
So it's a little bit of extra help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
So we did this. The first time we got three embryos and they got them to day three. And then we got one put back and two frozen. The first one didn't take. And that was really surprising for me because I thought, I'm young. We've got embryos. That's going to work. So
yeah,
we were really disappointed the first time, but we still had those two frozen embryos. So we went back quite quickly, put the second one in. It didn't work. We put the third one in. It didn't work. So we were really surprised, really disappointed, really sad. And
it's also, Sophie, I don't know if it was the same for you, but for me, even the doctor's reactions, because I was quite young as well and fit and healthy and didn't know if there was anything wrong. You know, they were just as surprised as we were when it didn't work straight away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. In that first clinic, that's what we, up to then, that's what we felt. Yeah. We went for a second harvest. Is that what you say?
Yep. Like egg collection.
Egg collection. So we got, I think, again, three embryos. Put the fresh back in. Didn't work. Put the second one, the first frozen one, it didn't work either. And we were healthy. We were fit. And we really could not believe that after five embryos, I had no pregnancy. And we went and saw the doctor again, and he's like, look, that didn't work. It's not going to work. I think you should go for sperm donor.
Oh, wow.
And we could not believe it. Like we were going to Europe just after that appointment, and for hours in the plane, we were like, but that's not what we want to do. Like, we feel... Yeah. You know, there's so many things we can do, and we never really investigated whether something was wrong with me. And I can't believe he offered that as the only option.
It seems like a big conclusion to get to. Yeah.
Yeah. And also so far away from what they had said for all these months, sort of, you need that little bit of help, but it seems like a huge gap.
Yeah.
And Steph is actually a doctor, and he said at that point, let's get a second opinion. So the first time we took the first appointment we could get with the first random, let's say, person, the second time he went and he looked, I think, at all of the clinics in WA and the records of all of the doctors, who's publishing, who's, you know, on really onto it, and he found a different clinic. And one of the doctors, I think the medical director, is also, or he was at the time, the chair at the university, and he was really published. And to Steph, that meant we need to
see
that guy.
He had some credibility, and he was on the cutting edge of what was happening, or, you know, he had some credentials behind him. Okay, good. Yeah,
definitely. And by then I needed a break. I needed to think about something else for a while.
Yes.
So I said, you think about something else for a while. I go and I find a doctor first. And then one day he said, look, I've got an appointment. It's very long in the future. So you keep on with your break. Don't need to think about it. But when the time of the appointment comes, we'll go and see that guy and we'll see what he's going to do. And we started, it was quite a long break because when you see a new doctor, it takes 4, 5, 6 months sometimes.
Yeah.
And when we went to see him, he started by running all of these tests. So all of the tests we'd done already, but then mm-hmm. so many other tests, and it took another few months. So
right.
by then I was already full on again. Yes, we're doing it. Let's we're having go. A baby. And it was months and months lost again.
Yeah.
And we started, they found something with me. They found two blood issues, which could explain a little bit. And they also okay. investigated a lot more things. And everything came back normal.
Right.
So we did, I don't know how many egg collection we did, but we did an egg collection and we had embryos put back. They didn't work, but then they said, oh, we could change this. So we tried again and we were really hopeful and yeah, okay, it didn't work, but we could, at some stage they started checking on each embryo at day 3. They would take one of the cell and get them tested for abnormalities.
Right.
And so by day 5, you would have an answer of which embryos were normal or not normal to be put back. And
right. And what were the results of that?
Rather normal, I think. At the age that I was then, if you have an embryo that makes it to day 5, you've got mm-hmm. a chance in 2 that it turns into a viable pregnancy.
Right.
And I think by day 5, so that's, I think, half of the embryos that had made it to day 5 were normal anyway.
Right.
So we knew we were putting back normal embryos in, and still
yes,
I wasn't pregnant.
And it still wasn't happening.
No.
Yeah.
So after, I think, 9 embryos, my best friend in Australia who had 3 children said, I'm going to be a surrogate if that's what you need. I'm going to be a surrogate for you.
Wow.
So we started the process with the same clinic. We started seeing the psychologist there, and we started all of this. And we still had 1 frozen embryo that we knew was normal. And we were discussing whether we would use this with a surrogate or whether we would put that back in me and then do a fresh ones to have more for the surrogates. And we decided to put that back with me just to finish off, and I got pregnant for the very first time in my life.
Oh my gosh.
So
isn't that so crazy? You were actually thinking about using a surrogate, decided to do this one last one with you, and then you got pregnant.
Yeah. So obviously we could not believe it.
Yeah.
It was just incredible. And my best friend, I lived in Australia for 7 years, and my best friend came to see me once, and she was on the plane on the way to Australia when I found out that I was pregnant. So I could not even tell her on the phone. I had to be I didn't have the possibility to tell her straight away. I had to wait for her to land in Perth to tell her on the parking lot. And
so you got to tell her in person.
Yeah.
There's some moments like that that you just don't forget.
Yeah.
They're just so amazing. Mm. Wow. And so how many years did you do egg collections before that first pregnancy?
We started in 2009. And I got pregnant at the end of 2013. So that was 4.5 years.
A long 4.5 years. And I know there's more to your story, so I'll let you continue.
Okay. So for various reasons, but as I would think the most important one was that we had just become parents. We decided when Maëlys was born to move back to Europe.
Yeah.
And some of the things we did to get pregnant, including what I explained before about testing the embryos, mm-hmm. is not something that you can do here in Europe. Sorry, I'm talking from Switzerland. So when I say here, it's here.
Yeah.
So when we realized we were moving away, we went and saw the doctor again. And Maëlys was probably 4 or 5 months old. So we went to see him to talk about baby number 2. And the last time we'd seen him was, you know, talking about surrogacy, and we'd been to see him so many times for failed cycles, etc. And suddenly we were there with a child talking about another child was surreal. We wanted to see with him whether we could come back for another child come back to the clinic in Perth.
Oh, right.
So that's why we wanted to see him, not to start straight away, but to say, could we in the future come back? And he said no, because by the time you do the egg collection, etc., you need to stay for a good 2 or 3 months, and I wouldn't have health insurance, and it would be just, he really would not recommend this. So he said he would recommend us fertility specialists where we were moving to.
Yeah.
So we started talking about the next child when the first one was 4 months old, because we were moving.
Yeah.
And so we really, I mean, the pregnancy was really straightforward. I loved being pregnant. The second she was born, we just completely fell in love with her, and becoming a mom is just the most incredible thing ever. And
yeah,
she was,
especially when you've waited perfect. So long to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think that, you know, every single baby is the most important thing, but I see mine as this little bag of diamond that it's so valuable and fragile, and just, it's got so much value. Amazing. Both of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we moved to Germany, and they've got a... Their ethics are really different. So you can't have an embryo that you just discard because it's not good enough or something. So basically you lose a lot of time putting back embryos that you know are not going to work. And with such a long story, we really didn't want to do this. And they didn't test for embryos. And the first clinic was already 60 kilometers away from where we were living. And by then we had a child. So we decided to go and see doctors in France near where my parents were living, because we were going to see them quite regularly and they could take care of my Elise during treatment. So when she was probably 2, we started seeing these doctors in France and going back for tests. And they redid all of the tests, even though our file was so huge and, you know, complete. And we had everything. Yeah. We'd done everything.
You had all the information. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wanted to do it all themselves. Yeah.
And it lasted a year of me driving 3 hours with my child to go and, you know, do
get tested.
Yeah. Some of those lovely things that you do. And it just didn't go anywhere. And we couldn't see the beginning of it. And by then, during that year, we moved to Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And one day, Steph was talking to one of the gynecologists in the hospital where he works. And he was telling her how difficult it was in France with our fertility clinic. And she said, look, I know a great guy here. I know a great guy here. I'll put you in touch. And 10 minutes later, there was an email. And an hour later, I was like, I can see you on Friday. Come in.
Wow.
So we went and saw that fertility specialist here. And he's like, so my wife is Australian. And I know everything about, you know, fertility treatment in Australia. And if you give me your file, I'm really happy with all of it. Oh, I know your doctor. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I completely trust him. Gosh. So, okay, we can do this. So I think if you look at sort of the recipe of what made our first child, they could do 9 things out of the 10. And we thought, like, let's do it. So
that's unfortunately, incredible. And what luck.
I know.
You know, you found someone that knew about fertility in Australia. They knew of your doctor. They knew your doctor. They were happy to just take your file and run with it. That would be so refreshing after what you've just been through.
Yeah. I needed a knee surgery. So I went and did that knee surgery. And as soon as I was off the drug, I started with the fertility drugs. That was in February 2017. And the results were a bit, I've had better results before. I didn't have so many follicles, and then they only retrieved 5 eggs, which was probably the lowest number they've ever retrieved.
Okay.
And so we were not very hopeful.
Yeah.
And then five days later, those 5 eggs had made 5 5-day embryo.
Wow. So the ones you did get were really good quality.
All of them.
Because that's really rare. Yeah.
Usually you would, with 5 eggs at the beginning, you would lose one on the first day, another two on the second day, and you'd probably have one on the last.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. We thought there was nothing for us. We didn't really get any news. And then one Monday morning, they called and said, are you coming for your transfer? Oh, there's one to transfer? Well, there's 5. Okay, we'll be there in half an hour. So we went to the clinic. We transferred one.
What a nice surprise.
That afternoon, we were signing off for the house that we live in now. And we moved in the week later. And 2 weeks later, I was pregnant.
So that is just unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. February 2017 was a whoa, quite big for us. And again, that pregnancy went fully smoothly, and another perfect little girl.
It's so funny how it's never logical. Like, you can't predict what's going to happen. You'd think you went through how many transfers and collections and everything the first time, and then the second time, first embryo.
Yeah.
That must have been such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. And we could not believe it. Like, it took us, the beginning of the pregnancy was a little bit funny, but it took us, I think, 15 or 16 weeks to actually believe that this was
that
going to happen.
It had worked.
Yeah. I didn't tell some of my friends for very long because I could not believe the luck. It could not be real. Like, normally a pregnancy for us lasts 5 years, not 8 months.
Yeah. And so you had another beautiful baby girl.
Yes, Saskia was born in October, and pregnancy here, the birth here was really, really lovely as well. And the fact, realizing on the day of her birth that we had met sisters, was just the cherry on the cake. When Maëlys came to see her sister and, oh yeah, you've got a sister now. We did this. Wow.
Did you guys find out that you were having girls both times, or did you keep it a surprise?
No, we couldn't. Okay. Yeah.
You needed to find out. You were so excited.
Absolutely. So then we had 4 embryos on the side, still waiting for us. So I think when I met Steph, I told him that I wanted 5 children. And then it went from 5 to, I hope 1 is possible.
Yes. So, amazing how that changes.
Yeah.
You start praying for 1.
Yeah. So a few months ago, we decided that we would go to the clinic again and see if we could use those frozen embryos. And we had to wait because every month there was something else. I had to stop breastfeeding. I had to do I can't remember the word in French nor in English. Check your breast, like a scan of your breast.
Oh, like a mammogram.
Thank you. And that's the same word in French. I had to do this and wait for the results. So it took quite a while, but we put an embryo back in February. And that did not work, unfortunately. So we still have 3 on the side. And so hopefully in a few months, they will be 3.
And now, do you think 3 would be your ideal number? Or are you just going to wait and see what happens with these 3 embryos?
I think 3 will probably be an ideal number because Steph is 47. And we both feel like at some stage that will be fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be much older having a baby.
Okay.
And also babies are nice. 7 years old are nice-ish. I don't know how many times we can survive this.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
That, yeah. I don't know. 3 children would be amazing. And I'm even now at the point where 2 children is amazing. If the 3rd children doesn't work out, I think we could still find a way to feel that our family is complete.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you describe them as, I think you describe them as little bags of diamonds. They're like so precious and so amazing to have because you weren't sure at some point if you would ever be able to have them. So yeah. I totally understand where you're coming from with that. Before this interview, I had a look back at some of our previous conversations because I've been messaging you for a few years really sporadically with updates or questions or whatever. And back in 2015, I asked you how you stayed positive through your journey. Do you remember what you told me?
Did I tell you that because Steph always believed it was going to work?
Yep. You mentioned him. So you said Steph was one thing and a couple other things you said. So one of them was around getting a second opinion and changing clinics and him kind of leading the charge with that and taking a break when you needed to.
Yep.
And something else you mentioned was surrounding yourself with people who are going through something similar and seeing them each have some version of success as you went, that you knew that eventually it would be you guys.
Yeah, that is true.
Which I think is really cool. Mm. And I remember in 2015 me asking you that because we had been through probably at least 3 egg collections at that time. So I think we did 5 in total. And yeah, there's definitely some times where I felt really discouraged, really unsure. It's almost like if you had a magic wand and someone could tell you, you know, what the future would hold, then you know you can keep going. But without knowing that, it gets really tricky. So that was really helpful for me to know from you, you know, how you stayed positive. So you went through a lot of that process.
Yep. And it's quite interesting because we're talking there about the making the baby journey. But now that I have children that go to school, etc., it's amazing how many people around us have gone through similar things.
Yeah.
Half of our friends have gone through fertility treatment on one way or another. I think it also has to do with the fact that we've got a bit older friends because Steph is a bit older. But we're surrounded by little bags of diamonds.
I agree. And it wasn't until I started talking about my journey that I realized how many people are actually impacted by this. Mm-hmm. Something I mentioned at the beginning was that you were one of the first people I knew that was openly speaking about your journey. Do you remember why you made the decision to do that and when you decided to do that?
Absolutely. Two things. The first is that when we started, some of Steph's friends that he'd known for many years and I had just met were really encouraging, really writing emails and sharing their stories. And knowing that right. we had someone that we could ask questions and someone who was really being positive for us as well was really nice. And I thought,
yeah,
I'd like to be that person for someone else. And you never know who's going through this. So by being really open with a lot of people, someone would randomly find comfort by speaking with me or not, but
yeah
or ask for a question, a recommendation or something. And I'm also thinking of probably people that are a bit younger. I'm thinking I've got younger cousins, they're about 10 years younger,
yeah.
And that if they went through this, probably none of their friends would have gone through this, but they would know even before going through this, like not try for 2 years before you go and find help, but maybe try for 6 yeah. months and be like, you already have somewhere in your mind that this exists and this is a possibility, and
yeah,
just create that option in some families.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think the more people know about it and the more people talk about it, then you're right. If people are experiencing it for themselves, they know when to go get medical help or ask questions or speak to their doctor or whatever, and they don't wait too long for it.
Yeah. And yeah. I have told some of my friends, it's a really happy time when you have to pick up your phone and cancel an appointment at a fertility clinic because you're pregnant. So don't hesitate to make an appointment, because in 3 months, if you still need it, you will be happy that you've already had
that. You had it.
Mm.
Absolutely. And you know, following one of our conversations, we switched clinics as well. And I remember that was a 5-month wait for that first appointment, which felt like a really long time because you feel like you're not getting anywhere. But I was kind of in a similar place to you in that I needed a break anyway, and I needed to think about other things. And when that appointment came around, I was ready to kind of hop back on the bus and keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
For you, what was the most challenging part of all of the stuff that you went through?
I would think the failure and the not knowing whether we would ever be parents.
Yeah.
So that was really difficult. And somehow we are parents now. So even if for the second child, if it had taken longer, it wouldn't have been as difficult.
Mm.
And I think sometimes the hormones, it just make you someone a bit different. You put 5 kilo, you put on 5 kilos, you get mood swing, you've got headaches. It's not fun.
No, you don't feel like yourself.
Mm.
And it kind of comes at all angles. So there's like a mental component of not knowing what's going to happen. There's that the emotional part with the hormones, and then there's that physical part too, where you're either feeling bloated or heavy or sore or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you learn by going through this? Do you feel like you've had any lessons throughout the process?
I learned that my couple is really strong, and that we both really wanted this, and we're strong. We can do anything, and we have done a lot. We have moved countries a few times, and we can do anything. We've done this.
Yeah, it was a good test.
Especially since we started so early in our relationship.
So
it's definitely part of our journey.
What would you say this journey has done in terms of impacted, like, the kind of mom that you are with your two beautiful girls now?
I think I'm a lot more patient than I would have been. Hmm. And once my Elise came along, we decided that I would stay at home.
Yeah.
And it was not even a question. I really wanted to do it. And Steph was really supportive. And even though I have some small activities here and there, I didn't go back to my career as an architect. And I'm still thinking that I will when they're older, but I would just want to be with them all the time and see them just becoming who they are, and just walk along them. And it's been really amazing.
Mm.
So I probably wouldn't have made that choice if it hadn't been that difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if I don't know what the other option is, I don't know who I would have been. Probably less patient.
Yes, you had a long journey, so that you have no choice but to try and stay patient during that journey. What would you say are your greatest strengths as a mom?
I think I've got quite a lot of empathy and patience as well. I really love them for who they are, and always try to see their point of view and what their little brain can understand at this point in development. And and I'm fun. I'm a fun mom.
Yeah.
We do lots of craft and things together, and the house is messy and I don't care. Yeah. I feel like sometimes I see, you need to let go, and that's fine. I let go.
You have no trouble with that. Oh, that's so good.
So
it's such an important part of being a mom, I think, is trying to find the time to not be doing too much and just sit and have fun with your kids.
Yeah.
Because kids are actually really fun when you're not trying to get things done.
That is true, mostly. Yeah.
I've really benefited from, you know, a lot of the conversations we've had, but I'd love to know what advice you'd like to offer for anyone who's listening that's going through this journey or may have this journey ahead of them.
I think my advice now that I'm 38 would not be the same as a few years ago.
But okay.
Now I would say don't lose time.
Right.
If, you know, the quality of your embryos at 38 are not going to be the same as when you are 40. So don't lose time. Take this appointment. Be happy to cancel the appointment if you're pregnant naturally in between. Try something alternative if you really feel strongly about it. But if you're thinking of IVF, do it. Don't lose time. You're going to have to lose a lot of time already. So
yes, there's nothing fast about this process for most people. I love it.
And what I said to you as well, like a second opinion is great. Just a fresh set of eyes can bring in new ideas as well. And sometimes you also need to feel completely confident in your doctor. And that's not only for fertility treatment, but also with your gynecologist or any kind of doctor. You really have to be able to put your trust in them. And if you don't fully, just move on.
Yes. I think that was really good advice that you gave me. And at the time, the doctor we were using was fine, but I wasn't, you know, excited to go and meet with him. I didn't especially, you know, jive with him or think he was amazing. So that was really good that you shared with me, you know, the benefit of you guys switching clinics and questioned, you know, do you really like your doctor? Do you believe this is going to happen? So that was helpful for me. Yeah. You mentioned earlier that Steph has been, you know, really supportive and positive. Is there anything specifically that he did or said that really helped?
It was very positive. He always thought at the end we would have a child. And he never lost this. And at some stage he said it's one of those fields that really advance really fast. So you know, when we started and I was 26, he said, we've got 15 years to get there. And maybe the technology which will help us have a child is not there yet. So it might happen. So it was very positive. And now we, you know, we don't talk for weeks about something. We just talk about it once or twice. And once we're on the same page, we know we're on the same page. And generally it's like, okay. You decide, yes, the third child, it's happening now, but you decide if you feel like it now or if you need a bit of time or, the doctor said to stop breastfeeding. You know, it's between you and Saskia, so when it's time for you and he leaves the important personal things to me and he's there and if I need more of his opinion, he will, but... interesting fact. Yesterday in Switzerland, they opened the opportunity for my age group to be vaccinated against COVID.
Oh, right.
So I could get a date for May. And I was super excited. But that's also when we wanted to put an embryo back. So I asked him last night, what do you think? Like, do we put the embryo because time is of essence? He's like, no.
Yeah.
For once, I really feel like you have this great chance to be vaccinated before you get pregnant. So do it because you don't want to catch COVID once you're pregnant. If you do get the chance, COVID, it's such a great opportunity. It's perfect timing. And this time
there
he
you
had
go.
An opinion.
So he gave you an opinion. I love that. So it's him finding that balance of, we're on the same page and I'm going to let you decide and determine when you're ready, when you feel like your body's ready, when your mind is ready. I love that.
Yep.
And then when he does have an opinion or he wants to add something, and then he does that.
Yeah.
Great. Great. It's when we're listening back to this podcast in the future, we'll be like, oh yeah, that was at this point in the pandemic.
Yes.
kind of time stamps it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Sophie, that's been so nice to talk to you and hear your full story. And there was parts of it that I didn't even know. I didn't know that you had considered a surrogate and a few other things. So that was really interesting. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
Just want to send lots of hope to people that will be listening to this podcast and are somewhere in that journey. They're struggling somehow, and I really want to send them hope, and you will get there. You will get that little bag of diamonds someday.
I love that. That's so good. And it's something you said earlier as well, was that it was so nice to have other people like hoping and positive for you and thinking of you as you're going through the journey. So that's one thing that I really want to create through this podcast, is these conversations, and to let people know that there's people rooting for them, and that, you know, there's people hoping that and knowing that they'll be successful in some way, shape or form in the future. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on and having a chat with me. And I look forward to hearing future news from you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.